Now he does something that actually seems unbelievable, and yet when you begin to study it, you find out that there was a reason for it, that there was a motivation for him doing what he did. So in chapter 18, I read, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab." That is, he teamed up with Ahab, had fellowship with Ahab. And I can't think of two men as unlike as these two men. "And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead." Now, this seems unbelievable. It's one of the strangest partnerships that's on record, either in the pages of Scripture or anywhere else. It's almost like saying that you can have day and night at the same time, and that you can have light and darkness at the same time. How these two ever came together is an enigma and a mystery, and they had nothing in common, certainly not spiritually. And this man, Jehoshaphat, is one of the most godly kings personally. And he had led in a great revival, as we have seen here. He loved the Word of God, and he loved God, and he's what you call a spiritually minded man. And Ahab's as godless as they come. We've already seen him. He hated God. He gave himself to idolatry and immorality. Now, how could these two be buddy-buddy? How could they enjoy each other's company? What did they have in common? Well, let's do a little investigating now here as we get into this. They had a threefold alliance and partnership, and it was all material, all physical, nothing spiritual about it at all. There's something we find out here in Chronicles you wouldn't find out anywhere else, and I'm going to have to go forward just a little to let you know what it was. There was a matrimonial alliance between these two. You see, the son of Jehoshaphat married the daughter of Ahab, and that daughter was the bloody Athaliah that we've already seen back in Kings. We'll see it again here in 2 Chronicles. Now, let me turn over to the 21st chapter here and read for you verse 6. We are told here, "And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab." This is Jehoram. "For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, who is Jehoram? Why, son of Jehoshaphat? "So that a son of Jehoshaphat married a daughter of Ahab." That was wrong, my friend. That is a spot today that's on our contemporary culture and society. I know today I'm going to sound like a square to a lot of folk. I'm a back number, that is for sure. But will you hear me for just a few moments on this? Here in Southern California, we lead the world in divorces. There's some saying that divorces now equal to marriages. When it passes it, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how it could pass it, but it may do that. What is the real problem in this? And I'm not an authority in this field, but here is one area in which, my friend, I think that we need to speak loud and clear on, and that is that a believer and a non-believer, a Christian and a non-Christian, ought not to get married under any circumstances whatsoever. Now, a son of Jehoshaphat, hot out of a revival, now marries that cold-blooded daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Couldn't get any farther apart than that. And that brought tragedy. It almost exterminated the line of David. And there is more tragedy. There is more heartache and heartbreak, more broken lives, more maladjusted children in Southern California because of this than anything I know anything about. Where one, a professing Christian, marries one who's a professing non-Christian. Won't work, my friend. Now, if somebody gets converted after they've married, then, may I say, Paul had a great deal to say to that individual. But God hasn't much to say to the one who deliberately walks into a trap like that, and that's exactly what it is. Now, there was, therefore, a matrimonial alliance between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. There was not only that. There happened to be a market alliance. They joined their navies. They sent their ships to Tarshish. That was something that they did. Turn over with me back to 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, verses 48 and 49. Listen to this. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber, his shipwreck. Then said Ahaziah the son of Ahab unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. He learned his lesson. When the son of Ahab came along, he said, nothing doing. You see, a market alliance they made. They sent ships to get grain and gold. And what happened? There was a shipwreck, and the cargo was lost. God could not bless it. Then the third alliance was a military alliance. Actually, what the armies of Ahab could not do, his oxen did, by the way. And what happened? Reading now 2 Chronicles 18:2, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. He made a big party for him, big dinner for him, and we find now Jehoshaphat sitting in the seat of the scornful. He reminds me of Chamberlain back at Munich with Hitler and Mussolini, our former President Roosevelt at Yalta, our Marshal in London, and probably we've got them today that are meeting where they ought not to be meeting, by the way. God can't bless this sort of an arrangement.